Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Viv Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
That's not the only sense in which I've completed all the balls.
Oh.
It started already. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. It's been a while since I recorded, actually. I've kind of forgotten what I usually say here, but it's a game. It's a panel show. I've got three brilliant comedians. Disappointingly, no women representation. I've become the thing that I hate.
Oh, dear.
We're so diverse over here.
Yes, one of us is from Yorkshire and one of us is from the Midlands.
I'm from the South.
It's all a bit mock
the
week.
There we go.
That's one pretty lady. Good, actually.
It's not mock the week. You're hosting. How's that happened?
I bundled Angela Barnes into the back of a van and drove her far, far away.
you get to host if you start the show.
Yeah. I couldn't get on anything legitimately. I was like, I'll make my own then. Fuck you all. Welcome to the arcade. We have the returning champion, Joz Norris. How are you doing, Joz?
Hello. Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks. I've just dropped it. Do you use Zifit? I've just started using Zifit.
No.
You can get rid of all your old books. I just dropped off a load of old books. Feeling good about it. That's my news. That's okay. What I've been up to since last I was on.
Have you been taking any more photos for your calendar?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing a bit of that. We've done, there's a spaceman on the beach and there's a sort of like an American farm boy type character. To be honest, I don't know if we're going to finish it. We've done three and there's 12 months. So we need to do 9 more in time for the end of the year. So we might do another calendar.
Or you could just stick to the Gregorian calendar and just do 10.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Will that be useful? Will people buy that? Do people use the Gregorian calendar? Because we do want to sell them.
I don't know. I think people are just buying them for the pictures, though, Giles. I'm not
cool.
sure.
Cool, okay. We could just put
that's
it
what,
out as an album.
That's why I bought mine anyway.
I didn't buy one. Every time you put a shot out, I was like, I could have had that in my house.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about
that. We've got it in the living room.
Right, anyway, that voice you can hear is our favourite dandy man. He's back. It's been far too long. The last time we had you on, you were absolutely wrecked and it was really fun. But that's not why you haven't come back since. I'm very much enjoying it. But how's your sobriety today, Tom Tuck?
Great. I'm having a coffee from my Camden Kongs mug.
Is it an actual coffee?
Yeah.
Has it got anything special in there?
No.
Oh. Well, that's so fun, is it? It's 1 o'clock.
Lies.
Come on.
Lies.
I've got to do another Zoom after this.
All right.
Who are you zooming? Spill the beans. Who are you zooming?
Who's zooming
who? The Meryl O'Rourke show, Vanilla, that I've directed. I'm going to be sort of live muting people if their audio's terrible.
Right. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And you'll be smashed for that one, yeah?
I'll get smashed during, I think.
And our brand new player, I'm really excited to have them on. It is the remarkable, the beautiful Rob Kemp. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm feeling intimidated by the legacy players we've got going on with all the all the weight of the experience, the completed balls. But I'm excited. I'm excited.
You should be. You absolutely should be. I saw Rob's amazing work in progress show at Edinburgh Fringe. Completely fell in love with him, and now he's on the show. So. That's why you're here. Your show is excellent. I'm very excited for more people to see it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to be biased and I'm going to let you win. But it might mean that. I'm very open to flattery and bribery.
You've got a lovely kitchen, Vix. Really liking your kitchen.
Thank you. I rent it myself. It's also the lounge. There's just one room, basically. But
nice.
That's efficiency. That's efficiency.
Yeah.
So good.
Have you got an island? Have you got like a breakfast bar in the middle?
We do. That's what you can see in the background. This is such a great audio experience for listeners, isn't it? Love it when this happens. Right. I'm going to roll the balls manually because the handle broke off on the way back from Fringe. So
I hate having to handle my balls manually.
You're not an acoustic ball handler anymore.
No, I mean, you know, you prefer digitally, but that can be taken two ways.
Oh, I've missed you. Right then, worst or first dates. I've expanded this category out. So,
okay.
Joss.
Can I do a double or nothing on this? Because I think this is my best story.
All right,
that I have ready in my head.
It's almost like we planned this, isn't it?
No, it's all random, isn't it?
It's
we heard them go round and round. I did a lot of like app dating in 2018, and all of it, nearly all of it, horrible. And my favourite one was I'd scheduled a date that was supposed to happen like a little while after I'd just finished filming a sketch, like a comedy sketch where I was playing a ventriloquist's dummy. So I put in like a buffer time for me to like change over in between. And we were filming it around Kentish Town, which at the time I didn't know very well. So I had to try and come up with an idea for a decent pub around Kentish Town. Asked John Kearns, who sort of lived around there at the time. And he said, try the Vine. I said, I've got a date on Sunday and I need to find somewhere nice around Kentish Town to go. He said, go to the Vine. It's really nice. So then on the day, I filmed this thing and, you know, that sort of ventriloquist dummy look with like the slicked back hair. I had like a lot of very thick gloop in my hair and sort of painted cheeks and a big kind of like the those grooves. The lines on my mouth to make it look like I had a wooden chin. So I thought I need to get rid of this. So I sort of walked from where we'd filmed it towards the Vine and went past another pub on the way and popped in and used their bathroom and washed stuff out of my hair. And they saw me and laughed and I explained what was going on. And then because I had an hour, I thought I'll stay actually and I'll eat dinner. I'll have a burger and then I don't need to worry about food. So I did that and then got to the Vine. And then John Kearns was just sort of sitting outside the Vine. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, the Vine's a lovely pub to come on a Sunday. Do you know it? I went, yeah, you told me to come here for this day. on Sunday that I'm about to go. And he went, oh, is that today? I'm meeting Tim Key for a drink. My date turned up and just found me sat chatting to somebody else. So I went, oh, this is my friend, John Kearns. I don't know if you know his comedy. And she said, why have you brought him? And I explained what had happened.
It's a reasonable question.
I felt horrible. This poor woman.
A panel of three. Why do you want this position?
What are your intentions towards that, Joss?
Also my dad, just people I've worked with, friends, everybody. So this was the first thing that went wrong. And I then went, do you know what? This has happened by accident. I didn't mean it for it to happen. It's a bit weird to be in the same pub as your friends. So let's go somewhere else. I said, I walked past another pub on my way here. Let's go there. And she said, what is it? I said, I don't really know. I just walked past and kind of looked in. I lied. I don't know why. Well, I lied because there was no point explaining the truth because the truth was so long-winded that I was like, I'll just say I walked past it. So then we went to the other pub where I'd washed the beer out of my hair and eaten a burger. and went in. And the barman, the first thing the barman said as he went, "So you got all that glue out of your hair then?" I said, "Yes, I did, yes." And he said, he came in and washed his hair earlier. I said, "Did you?" I said, "Yeah, I had stuff in my hair, so I had to come here and wash my hair." And she said, "You said you looked in. You said you walked past it and looked in." I said, "Yeah, I came in and washed my hair." And that was it. And then, then we bought drinks and went outside. And then the waiter came out with these drinks and went, "How was the burger? Was it nice?" And I went, "Yeah, the burger was really good, thanks." And she said, Did you eat a burger here?" I said, "Yeah, I walked, I came in, I washed my hair, I ate a burger, then I went to the other pub and my friend was there. That's what happened." And I didn't see her again. And I don't think any of those things by themselves are like outlandish, but it was the fact that all of them got gradually kind of peeled back until, I can't remember what we talked about. I think we talked about Terry Pratchett for a bit and then she left.
I can't trust this man. It's a tissue of lies.
And I don't think any of them were bad lies, but it was just like a series of dishonesties.
He's
one
a liar,
after the other.
And yeah, I think he lives in this pub.
Well,
and they were all so friendly. They were so like happy to have me back. They were like, "Hey, it's the hair washing guy." It could have been lovely. But just...
Oh, I did really enjoy that. Right, anyone else?
It's my best one. It's my best. Anyway,
well, I'm just...
If you don't puzzle, best this, Tom or Rob, I have to double Joss's points for that. That's how that rule works. So,
well, see,
I like those wild cards.
But if you do a better story, you get his points.
Bloody hell.
Now, I don't think I've got a better story because, like, in the brief window... when I was on the apps, as I say, I got precisely zero dates.
Oh,
and I don't know.
Were you not swiping them or were they not swiping you?
I know where chats would start. But then apparently bowling is not something people want to do on a first date.
I had that with the Rainforest Cafe. I tried to arrange a first date at the Rainforest Cafe and I was told no.
Why?
I really like the big tree, the big talking tree. I think it's fun.
I mean, you might as well get who you are out right up front, Joss.
Yeah, yeah, so, I thought so. I think bowling's good. Bowling's a classic date, isn't it?
I've subsequently been told that commits you to a certain time period, and that's not what you want to do on the app.
Yeah.
It's good to have an activity, though, isn't it? Are you not?
Which is what I thought. I can walk home from Rowan's bowling.
I thought you had to suffer through dates. I didn't realise that you could now like book a slot on a dating schedule. I went to 7 Wetherspoons with somebody in Cardiff once out of lack of other things to do. And
one date.
In one date, I know. I'm a legend. And I was so drunk. But he did not,
and a burger on,
he
on
did
everyone.
Not get any better looking. As we move from spoons to spoons.
Surely the allotted time frame is only a problem if you're having a good time.
Well, yeah, what if you
can leave? You can leave. If you're having a shit time, you can leave.
You don't have to see
in the middle
game.
Of a bowling game though.
Yeah.
You can.
If you're committed to 10 frames, it's a bit rich.
It's very sad. To be the one that's left in that situation,
because
then you've got to bowl the rest of their balls as well as your own for the rest of the thing.
I think I'd enjoy that. I think that would be the dream.
Yeah, more,
no jeopardy at all.
More
just
bang for your buck.
Double bowling.
I have actually done that. My girlfriend hurt a wrist midway through a game of bowling, and I bowled the rest of hers left-handed.
so that she wouldn't
won.
Beat you. Excellent tactic.
So that's the date you didn't go on, Tom. Have you actually got an example of a date you attended?
Well, so you've all met my girlfriend, but she doesn't live in London. And so when we were sort of tentatively sort of messaging each other, we decided what our first date should be. It was a weekend away, which is a more time commitment than bowling,
yeah,
to be fair.
Yeah. It's confident.
So it's big.
So confident.
Yeah, big romantic gesture. Sure, I'll give it a go. So we went to Rye. instead of staying in a B&B and Rive.
So romantic.
Really nice.
Romantic Rive.
Got a fig.
Four-poster bed.
Ooh. Presumptuous.
I
mean, play first date, right?
yep. First date was a weekend.
Wow.
What if she didn't like you?
Well, I think we'd figured it out by then, but we just hadn't been anywhere at the same time after that.
So the four-poster bed was actually for the Sunday. You weren't going to sleep on the Saturday because it was a weekend. It was like, we figure out that we like each other and then presumptuous four-poster.
Do you have any other number of posters on a bed other than four?
It has to be yeah, four, you can have a five if you're a Satanist.
Five? Where's the fifth in the middle?
No, it was a joke about a pentagram, Joss.
Ah, sorry, I was a bit slow.
I'm going to give you the point for that, Joss, because it was a very poor joke.
Whoa.
I said what I said.
What about Rob? Rob, have you got any terrible dates?
I haven't, not me, my friend Frank.
My friend Frank.
Went on a date through Match. And the lady who her childcare let her down, so she came on a first date with her 3-year-old.
They're all worse than bringing Tim Key.
And then,
I mean, 3-year-olds and Tim Key react to many situations in the same way.
possibly Tim's the better raconteur. And she left, bear in mind, this is a man she just met, and obviously I can vouch for him, but she didn't know this. She left her child with him when she went to the loo.
What?
So it's like not for a second questioning whether he might, you know, traffic organs or, you know, be a nonce. He wasn't. He's not. Neither of those things. He's neither of those things. And then
good to clarify that. It's a very dark story otherwise.
My friend Frank.
He was never seen again.
The kid was not.
It'd be great if when she went to the loo, the kid got really threatening and was like, if you don't treat her
well. Well, actually, he offered the kid dessert. And the kid responded by saying, I hate you, fat man.
Seriously?
Is he a larger man or is it just fight?
I mean, to a kid, yeah. Like, just not.
Yeah,
not like a
fat.
Not like a massive.
3-year-old.
But yeah, it's not my story. It's not my story. My girlfriend's friend Ruth, she went on a date and her date chatted up the waitress. Which is, I mean, that's a snippet, but it's...
that's happened.
That's terrible.
On the 7 Spoons date, I did chat up the barman, and in my efforts to chat him up, I pretended I was interested in a job there, and then I got interviewed for the job, and then I had to do the job for 2 weeks, and that was quite a
number
bad
spoons
outcome.
Was that? How far into the 7
yeah,
spoons?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how awful that is depends upon which spoons. Yeah,
that was the end of the night. I took him to my local rock club where there was a barman that I fancied. That's how the date had very much ended for me at that point, but he wouldn't accept it. And so he just sat there looking all sad and moon-faced at me while I was chatting at this man. Ugh. But he wasn't even hot. Either the barman or the moon-faced man, but I think that was clear from the outset. Told you I took him to 7 Weatherspoons. He had a head like a paper mache balloon, like
Frank Sidebottom.
Exactly. Like his head arrived way before his body when he was walking towards me. Like, I'm not coming across as a very nice person, anyway.
But you have you have got the points.
I'm going to put my own column on. Fix, Joss. You are the winner.
Thanks, Vix.
It
was the only one I was confident of, really.
A delicious
wild card's
14 points.
Whoa!
14-point range. I've had games finished where people haven't reached 14 points.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Exciting.
I'll just keep quiet for the rest then. I'm done.
Can retire. Right. Let's get the ball back out.
Oh. I can't hear that.
there are so few balls in here. I lost loads of them at Cambridge Comedy Festival. This is actually sellotape closed. I can't be trusted. Right. This is a new category that nobody will have seen yet because I'm malicious. The worst conversation you've ever had.
Oh, my God.
Don't say this.
Oh, okay. Have I told this story?
I'll tell you if you have.
It happened in Chicago.
Doesn't sound familiar.
It was July the 5th, which famously comes after the 4th. And in America, that's a sort of big day for them.
Bonfire night.
Yeah.
It's their bonfire night, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Me and my friend had some leftover fireworks. So we decided that the best thing to do with those was to go to a local park and strap them to a sapling and then explode a little tree.
Sad. I thought you were going to set them off into the sky and that would have been quite nice.
Yeah.
Space
didn't
tree.
Have to drag the tree into it.
Yeah, yeah. And as we did it, a police car came round the corner. And the tree exploded, and I panicked, and I ran away from American police, white privilege. but I suddenly realised I don't know this park or this city at all well. I don't know where I'm going, so I just had to walk back. And then this is the worst conversation. The American policeman goes, "Why did you run away?" And bear in mind, you know, I improvise a lot for a living.
Yeah.
I said, "I saw a rabbit."
Did they buy it?
He said, no. Because Alex, my friend, went, "No, you didn't." And then he put us in the back of the police car, drove us to the police station, and our parents had to come and get us from there. Not charged with anything, so I'm still allowed back in the country, but...
They just wanted to scare you a little bit.
Yeah, they want.
Can you do the policeman again? It was really good acting when you did the policeman.
Oh, thank you. Why did you run?
That's amazing.
Ooh.
You look completely different. I know this is going out as a podcast.
That was
like,
quite sexy.
Yeah. You look like a policeman.
Got any more lines in that?
In that voice. Would you like to get it back into the back of the car, sir?
They say, "Would you like?" That's polite.
Yeah.
Read us our rights, Tom. Read us our rights.
Mirandarize me.
I just recorded a self-tape for a Poundland ad, but yes, the courier's going fabulously. they said it has to be a Southern Irish accent. Oh. And I cut it all together and sent it to my agent. It's like, "I think this is really funny. I might be going mad." She sent back, "That's really good. Send it to them. Also, that accent is sexy as fuck."
Well, now you're going to have to give it to us. You want to. We know you want to.
Tell us how much everything in the shop is in the accent.
"Visit a land where your money goes further. Further than that."
Oh. Wow. Is that Southern?
That's Dalton, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
I don't care.
Sexy Tom.
Yeah. That's a Dublin accent. And let me tell you,
ooh, that's I'd actually
my,
that.
My impression.
You sound like
Humphrey Carr's impression of Bob Geldof.
Oh, I thought you were doing Boyzone. That's my frame of reference.
I thought Colin Farrell. I was getting a Colin Farrell vibe from that.
Well, I've given you a lot of points for it, even though that's not why I asked. Just because, like I said, it's my game. Fuck it.
Excellent.
Rob, what's the worst conversation you've ever had?
I find joy in everyone. I'm a
that's
real.
That's not why I asked.
I'm a real wide-eyed, optimistic boy. I like everyone's an onion, peel them, find out the core of their beauty. And
they make you cry.
I can't think of one, honestly. I can't think of a conversation that I was like, "Oh God, this is terrible."
Although, never been fired? Lucky you. Never been dumped? What a chump life Rob lives.
I mean, no, dumpings are bad, but they're not funny, are they?
I once got dumped with the line, "It's not all about you, Thomas."
Oh, that was the name of one of our early episodes.
Ooh.
Yeah, Maureen Younger really loved that. She backed it as well. It was not all about you. Not in that episode or ever. Not all about you, but it was a little bit about you, wasn't it, Tom?
Well, it was the fact that she used my full name.
Thomas.
Like a mother holding shards of a vase.
Didn't middle name you though?
No.
What is your middle name?
David. Oh. Thrilling news for everybody there.
My
dad's
name. I would
never have guessed that.
Good biblical name.
Yeah, strong name.
Good.
Yes, my mother was Catholic. She's now given it up for yoga, but very much testamental names.
Just giving it up for yoga. Different deity now.
I'm here with a James.
Oh,
I've
nice.
I've got a James.
Nice.
Another biblical name.
Ah, lovely. Jules, what's the worst conversation you've ever had?
I thought you were going to ask me my middle name.
Well, also you can tell us that.
No, I'm going to leave that a mystery.
Oh. we've just given that stuff away for free.
And your mother's maiden name?
No, I know what you're doing.
Is that hyphenated?
Yeah. the worst conversation I've ever had. This isn't a very good story, but it was another date in 2018. Because like I said, there were a lot of bad dates in 2018. And have you ever been on those ones where just within about 30 seconds you know that there's nothing, that you're just not that they're horrible or that you're horrible, but just there's nothing there. And we sort of struggled through about 10 minutes of chat. And we talked about what we've been up to. And she said something like, "Oh, work's been a bit tricky this week. We've got this very difficult client." And then I found 20 minutes into this date, I said the words, So tell me more about this client. What's so tricky about them? And after asking it, I was like, that is the worst question I've ever asked anybody. That's awful. So, so bad. And then, so we sort of managed to get through about half an hour. And then we went for a walk around the corner and found a little garden where they used to bury Victorian prostitutes. And we looked at that and then we sort of said, wow, it's turned out all right, hasn't it? And then
prostitutes for the day.
It's a beautiful garden. It's called the Crossbones Garden. It's near London Bridge and it's got this quite sad history, but it's now a very, very pretty little corner you can go and visit. So we did that. And then that felt enough like, okay, we can hit this on the head.
We've fulfilled our allotted
time. Yeah, we've
done
the allotted time. So yeah,
oh my God.
I don't want all mine to be sad date stories. But it was in that moment of asking a question, and then you go, "That is, I like to think that I can just about manage the concept of conversation, and that is the worst depth I've ever had to stoop through. Tell me about your tricky client."
What, did she?
Awful.
Or did she acknowledge that was? As soon as she
no,
said
she
it.
Did. That was the worst. Yeah, then I had to listen to it for a bit. And I can't remember what she did. Like, she had like a proper job. She had like a cool, smart, impressive job. So I just had to listen to some business stuff for a bit. And I didn't know what she was talking about. And she... I was like, just terrible.
That reminds me of prostitutes.
Want to go and see some prostitute graves?
God. Anyway, yeah, that's mine. It's not very funny, but...
You found someone, Joss.
Yeah, it worked out. These would be much worse if they were still ongoing, these stories.
I once went on a date that was, he was so atrocious that my old RE teacher, who I saw in the pub, waited for him to go to the toilet and came up to me and went, "I know it's not my place, but you could do much better."
Lovely.
Absolutely savage.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I come to that conclusion myself, but that really did, that finished the date for me.
That's a lovely validation as well, because you often have those old teachers in your head and like, oh, it'd be nice if they kind of pop back into my life to tell me what they thought of how I was doing and stuff. So when they kind of step in and go, you're all right.
You can do better.
Yeah, it's a nice, you're on the right track.
Jesus doesn't want this for you.
No. There's a man in a sheepskin coat that smells of old umbrellas, so...
The RE teacher or the...
Both of them, to be honest, but... The date was the.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I precisely have the smell of old umbrellas logged in the old noggin.
Calvin Harris smelt like that as well. Funny enough, that's the through line in my head. Yeah, you know, like clothes that have been left to dry out for too long.
Yeah,
it was that kind of smell because I won a meet and greet with him.
Wow,
a VIP meet and greet.
Did he do that song you did? What was that song?
Well, that's the thing. It was around the time where he'd released that one song, and I
80s.
Yeah,
born in the 80s,
and I dressed as an 80s. Style person, and he didn't get any of the references, so he just looked at me like, this girl looks like she's climbed out of a bin in Primark, like what's gone on here. I was like, no, I've crimped my hair because the 80s, and he just 1,000 yards stared me down.
God.
And I didn't feel like a very important person despite what the prize suggested. Never mind, I didn't that even like him. I don't remember entering the competition. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have. That wasn't a prize I wanted, but I fucking love stuff for free. So I was like, I might as well go.
Fair enough.
But yeah, it was not great for either of us. And then I told a journalist that, and they put it in FHM as like worst celebrity encounters.
Oh no.
So I'm pretty sure he knows that I thought he smelled like old umbrellas. And do you know what? I'm fine with it.
And he has gone a bit quiet. You don't hear about him these days. That might have killed his career, that little bit in FHM.
He had to go out with Taylor Swift. He had to go out with Taylor Swift to rehabilitate his reputation.
Did he? I didn't know he did that.
I think someone's folded him up and left him near the front door.
You have a point for that, Tom. Right. Anyway, we've got way off track.
Round they go.
There they go. Some of them are getting a bit stuck in the sellotape. Oops. Never mind. Irrational dislikes.
Well, this seems to be cropping up more and more often. It's when people go, oh, no pun intended, and they haven't done a pun.
That is annoying.
Like, I was teaching a comedy course, and British Nigerian on the course, he went, I'm the black sheep of the family. No pun intended. Like, no, that's
it's not word
the play. Same use of the same word. Like, no pun intended. No pun achieved. No pun attempted. Like, it really, really fucks me off.
I'm glad no pun was intended because we didn't get one. So
that should become part of the popular lexicon, shouldn't it? No pun attempted.
Yeah.
You're right. You're absolutely right. They should bring that in. Yeah.
It's got to be at least a homophone.
You're laughing at this for the wrong reason, you dickhead.
Look, God, he genuinely looks sad for the listeners. You do look really miserable. Like weary. Tom looks weary.
How often do you think it happens? Do you hear it?
At least weekly, every day? And sometimes from weekly. Like, to be fair, all I've done is a recall for a Poundland advert. it was probably unlikely to happen in that context.
Okay, anybody else got any? Because that feels quite rational to me.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I think the level of anger is irrational.
All right, fair enough there. Yeah.
Mine
is
Nirvana. I tried listening to Nirvana for the first time this year because I thought, you've got to give it a go. People are talking about them a lot. And I was furious I was listening to them for a week. I listened to the two albums and I listened to them a lot to try and get my head around them.
You know,
and I was
you know there
raging.
Are five albums?
I'm not giving them any more of my time.
Which,
I gave
which
them some time.
Did you listen to?
I listened to Baby in the Bath, whatever that's called. And little angel, creepy angel on a white background.
Okay, well, so you're wrong because In Utero is a fantastic record.
I hated In Utero. The entire album was him going, ah! It was horrible to listen to. I thought he was too macho. I was like, just calm down and think about why you're so angry and write a nice song about it. Like, I'm all for people like expressing their anger through creativity, but like, you can't just scream. And I know he was angry with like culture and consumerism and all that stuff. So like, that's what annoyed me so much is because I agreed with him on everything. I was like, yes, society is bad and consumerism is bad and fame's bad and all, like, I agreed with his message, but he was just screaming into a microphone and playing the guitar badly, like distorted. And I was like, write some nice songs. Heart-Shaped Box was nice. That one was good. And I was like, more an album of that, fine. But like...
Okay,
I feel like
to
Tom's
going to
clamber out
album.
Of his box and just like punch him.
Yeah.
Luckily,
have you listened
he
to
fixed it, didn't he?
Unplugged?
No, that's what people said to me when I was getting angry. They said, do the MTV Unplugged.
Yeah.
And
Bryan Adams' MTV Unplugged absolutely bangs, by the way. That gets a lot of play in this house.
Yeah, I'm aware that was irrational because everybody loves them, and by all accounts, it looks like he's incredible, and I'm wrong. So I don't know why it got me so much. But
is the best album to do housework to, I think.
Really?
Just doing the washing up or hoovering within In Utero. A little bit of anger. Get the job done faster, doesn't it?
I like to do housework to like Brian Eno ambient stuff because then you lose track of time.
I think that would just take a long time to get the mildew off because I would just be
slowly slow down, actually. Yeah, maybe you do want upbeat stuff.
The category is irrational dislikes.
Yeah, sorry.
Rob, you're a sunshine soul, so I feel like this might be tricky for you.
Yeah, I've wrestled for a while. I don't like people lightly brushing my lips.
Oh, does that happen a lot?
I don't like gentle. It's I don't know. I don't like anyone doing it, Joss. Don't do it.
Wow.
Stay away from my lips.
Who's trying to do it though?
I don't think anyone's ever done that.
I mean, mainly girlfriends, but like, don't kiss me directly or don't. Like, no, not the brushings. Cold buffet chicken wings.
Oh, they're a waste of time. I absolutely agree.
Like a hot, straight away hot ice, but when they've gone all congealed and... No.
What about somewhere in the middle? What about like room temperature chicken?
Anything other than hot. It's got to be hot. It's got to be fresh out the kitchen.
What about quite a warm room temperature?
No.
They get hard. And then it's too much effort to get them off the bone.
And they don't look appealing. And there's all the gloop at the bottom and it's horrible. And I don't want them. And you can't make me.
And we won't. We won't.
What if somebody brushed your lips with their fingers and then tried to shove in a cold chicken wing?
If somebody tried to brush my lips with a cold chicken wing.
That does sound bad, actually.
I'm furious. No, I'm furious, Charles.
Just with all the gelatinous fat on the end. Just like, gross.
Why are you doing this?
Well, that was an outstanding answer, can I just say? That was what the category was made for. Like, there was two prongs to it. One of them was really weird. Chef's kiss. Absolute chef's kiss answer. You're
direct
back in the game.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah, direct, yeah. Not brushing.
No brushing from a chef's fingers.
Or a chicken wing.
Obviously, don't put this in because it's not my joke, but you'd see Tom Neenan's visual gag maybe 3 years ago. It says, here's my impression of an Italian chef in a strong wind. Mwah!
I think the other reason that shouldn't go in is, I don't know if it will work.
Visual,
on a podcast,
yeah, it's quite
yeah.
visual. Yeah.
It's okay, I'll just cut it for social media, Tom.
An audio describe it.
I reckon that the last part of it is a GIF, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like just Tom slapping himself in the face.
Yeah. Over and over again.
Oh, the GIF that keeps on giving.
Oh, dear.
Anyway. Well, fuck you.
That's really going to enlighten your points there, Tom. You know how I love it when you're rude to me. That is going to set your points on fire. Family rituals is the next one. Weird stuff.
I'm sure a lot of people do this, but all the male children in our family have to be circumcised on a full moon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Something that happened at Agincourt, apparently. No, I don't think we have one.
We do. We've got a weird thing at Christmas, which has now become a ritual, It's, well, I've not actually been home for Christmas for a while because obviously COVID, and then the year before I just didn't because I bothered. Yeah, you know, sometimes you reach the age where you're like, oh, I could choose to not do that.
Oh, when is that?
I'm 29, I think. I think I will this year because it's been a while.
That option is not available to me.
Really? You just...
The only way I'd get out of Christmas is if I had a child, because then my mum would be like, oh, because Christmas is for kids, isn't it? Have your own day. Apparently the cats don't count. I did ask. I was like, I just want to spend time with my furry sons, mum. She's like, no, it's not going to happen, I'm afraid. Oh, I'm so jealous.
It was nice to just sort of do your own thing for a bit. But for a while, we did this thing at Christmas where my mum had heard from... a friend that someone they knew had to sing happy birthday to Jesus before they ate their Christmas dinner. Very, very religious family. And this friend thought it was so ridiculous that she told my mum about it. And my mum went, that's stupid. And my mum is very anti-religion. She had like quite a religious upbringing. So she's now very like, she doesn't like any mention of it, all that kind of thing. So she laughed a lot and told us about how stupid this was. And then for a while, it meant that one Christmas she'd put all the Christmas dinner out, and then she stopped us. And before we could eat, she rang her friend and then played us down the phone singing happy birthday to Jesus down the phone to her friend. And then they laughed at how ridiculous it was. And then we had to do that every year. And it's like, we're now just doing it. Like, we went from being like, isn't that stupid, to now we have to do it down the phone to your friend.
You're now the family people are talking about.
Yeah. What
you don't know is that's how it started for them as well. Yeah, like, they found out passing it down the line.
Well, I mean, that's how all religion started.
Yeah.
All tradition. Yeah. Oh, they're doing this. Yeah. Shall we do this?
Isn't that stupid? Let's try it. Oh, we love it.
That's how ironic. And then before you know it, you're wholeheartedly wishing Jesus a happy birthday in the mode of song.
So I think we did that about 3 years in a row. So I don't know if that counts as a tradition yet. I guess it depends. If we do it again this year after the gap, then that means it must have been a real thing.
Right.
I had to ask my pal if there were any, and he laughed and then told me a couple. So apparently, the first one is the one that I thought of, which is the nice twee thing of we always do a stir of the Christmas cake together.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
That's like a sixpence in. Gotta get to get no, but like it's lots of booze and good old stir, and I think that's nice. That's and then we never eat it until like Easter, maybe. But the things that I was told to consider were the fact that he always thought it was weird that we didn't open the presents under the tree until after dinner.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
It's like, strange.
That's
you don't do it in the morning.
Like, no, we did the like Santa presents. First thing.
All right.
But like family stuff? And I don't know if that was that weird. Is that weird?
They're the boring presents, aren't they? So they're the ones that you're excited about at 5 a.m. when you get up.
Does anyone else have a spoon on their table for Sunday roast gravy?
No.
No. All the time.
We have allocated gravy spoons.
What? Is it just a normal spoon that you've given this status, or is it a type of?
It's a normal spoon. It's just that we always have to have it, and we don't often have dessert with the roast, so its only purpose is to sup up the gravy.
Oh, so it's part of your knife and fork setup. Your individual knife and forks. That is so weird.
I thought you meant it was in the middle of the table from Monday to Sunday all week, waiting for Sunday.
Why did my mind go there?
So, Rob, let me get this straight. In your Wolverhampton household, you consider gravy a soup?
Yes. No,
good as long as you got that straight.
Hang on. Don't blame me if your gravy isn't worth finishing.
Yeah, some gravy is good.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
So consistently good every week.
I tend to use a jug and and potatoes as the delivery method.
I mean, it gets noted if the gravy doesn't get finished. You know, it's like a sort of
hungry.
I screwed up this week. you've cut me deep, Rob.
Oh, my
did you have it in a boat? Did it come in a boat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
directly onto the spoon into your mouth.
Sorry, I'm now just thinking about coming on a boat or coming directly onto a spoon.
I love you. This is perfect. I used to tell my parents that I was going to eat the things later that I didn't want because I didn't like them. So I was like, oh, this is really nice, but I'm quite full. I'll eat it later. And my mum was like, we were on to you. We knew you just didn't want it. I was like, but that went on for years. Absolute years. Put it in the fridge. I'll eat it later.
Oh, later sprouts.
Yeah, delicious. Love a green bean. Cold from the fridge. That is what I want.
Oh, I was
brushing
I was
your lips
told...
gently with a green bean.
Oh, no. You don't
Not
know.
Your lips, Rob's.
You don't. The thing is, you don't know it's weird until you tell somebody else, apparently.
That's why this game's so great. We can never unknow what we know now. And we will abuse that information, won't we?
Let's oh, sorry. Vic, that pen you've got. That looks like a perfect implement to stroke someone's lips.
Give you a little stroke. Yeah. Come down to ACMS. We'll all form a queue. We're all going to...
hold me down.
Gently rub lips.
Sounds like a good routine, actually.
I am looking for something to do on Monday. It could be that. It could be that, couldn't it?
Perfect for ACMS. Torture a man.
I mean, well, isn't it?
Actually, in a wacky way.
When we... Joss, were you there when we brought Ben Tarjay onto the board?
No, but you did... You blew paint on his face, right? Through a trumpet.
Yeah. So he had to lie on the ground, and a man with a trombone with a paint roller attached to the end of it painted him. And whilst going...
That's
so that's not a family ritual, but perhaps...
It sort of is.
We could consider the comedy community.
Yeah.
Is that standard joining the board ritual?
Yes. An instrument must be played in your face and you must have some paint put on you.
Oh, right. Okay. Nice.
I can't remember what mine was. Maybe it was a kazoo.
Full of paint?
I think we had a trumpet and some fluorescent...
Yeah, like stripes. I remember the stripes. Yeah.
Do you feel aggrieved that as a founder member, you didn't get painted?
Oh, yeah.
No, because I've got all the power.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
Fair.
That's fair. That's fair. The old boy network.
Hey. Equal boys and girls, thank you.
For the listeners who don't know on this niche conversation, how would you describe ACMS, Tom?
It's sort of like a come down the rabbit hole with us comedy night.
Leave it there.
That's enough. It's where I did my first ever gig. And my
I saw a rabbit.
So it's a nice little gig, that, isn't it? And I got engaged to the gig the last time I did it.
Did you?
Yes, yep.
When's the wedding?
I don't know. Lockdown got in the way, didn't it?
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, we had to cancel the venue.
It was really tricky. Yeah, Tom presented me with a gift for my 100th gig down on one knee. And then before we knew it, we were all engaged. Because it was somehow less weird than me being engaged to you, Tom. That made the most sense. Yeah. Anyway, that is the end of the game. So let's go around while I calculate the points. And...
You didn't tell us it was going to be the last round, so we didn't have a chance to play Fruit Machine.
I didn't know. No, you're going to have to live and die on your own points now, I'm afraid.
Oh, no. I didn't realise.
Wow.
You needed that as well, Rob, I reckon.
I reckon, yeah. I've not brought my best game. I was hoping for something about, I don't know, drunk behaviour or something, or petty crime.
Well, do you know what? We've got time. We're going to do a petty crime. We'll do a petty crime speed round.
Fruit machine.
Hey.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
Okay, double or nothing on petty crime.
All right, let's do it.
But, right, me and my pal were washing his car. It was a Fiesta, and the sunroof was, I don't know if you know how they get, it was detached, and we were washing the sunroof, and we thought it'd be fine, and it slid down the bonnet and shattered. So no sunroof. Thinking.
Thanks for clearing that up.
thinking we could get a sunroof from somewhere, one of the junkyards. We went to a series of junkyards that, because this is the Midlands and it's nearly all junkyards. And we went to some junkyards, and not a single one of them had got the right kind of, that they were all like slightly different shaped or whatever. And as we were leaving, a Fiesta of the same model pulled up to the junkyard we were in, and the man got out and he went in, and we quickly unclipped his sunroof. And drove away with the sunroof.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm not sure it's petty, to be honest.
Well, that's pretty bad.
It's just crime. Were they dropping off the car at the junkyard, or did you not stick around? Did you at least leave the broken one there so they could claim for it on their insurance?
It shattered. No.
You just stole a man's sunroof.
And no repercussions from that at all, I guess. They never found you.
I mean, maybe now. Like 25 years later,
someone who's been listening to every podcast for the last 20 years.
There've been quite a few crimes actually confessed on this podcast, to be honest.
there was also the time when this wasn't me. This was when I was in a band.
Your friend Frank.
My friend Frank. No, I was in a band, and we'd stopped at this. We were at this venue, and the van we were in, the dad of our guitarist had pulled this van down the side of the venue. And because he wasn't supposed to be there, in the time it took us to load in, the van had got a ticket. And he was so furious about that that he loaded one of the planters, a big, like a half barrel planter, into the back of his van because he wanted to get his money's worth.
I'll be taking that. Thank you. I love it. Wow. Any other petty crimes to confess, I guess?
I once bought a bouquet of flowers for a significant event in a loved one's life, but was feeling a bit poor at the time, so I put it through as onions on the self-checkout. Paid about 8p for it.
Iconic petty crime. Didn't But you paid something.
I just wanted to get it. Yeah, I paid something, and I turned up with flowers, which is the main thing.
As long as you've got a receipt you can wave as you're leaving.
Yeah.
I accidentally stole an onion from Waitrose because I hooked it over my arm and I thought it was my handbag. So I went all the way through the checkout, paid for everything else, swung away with this onion, like the boldest crime ever. Got outside and I was like, should I go back in? Explain what's happened to you. They just watched. She must have just watched me do it, the checkout woman, because it was swinging there like a testicle under my elbow, but didn't query it. I think a lot of them are just whatever.
I walked out of a Morrison's without paying for like quite a lot of stuff, and it was just because I was really interested in the podcast I was listening to. It wasn't deliberate. I can't go back and just say I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
I was putting it into my bag and then just sort of walked away. Oh, yes, I am really interested in what happened in the Bundesliga.
Right, fruit machine then. Exciting.
Gasp.
Right. So,
I don't know what that means.
It means I'm going to jumble up everybody's scores. So you might get somebody else's points.
Very exciting.
Right, Rob, pick a number between 1 and 3.
2.
All right. You are now Tom Tuck. You've got Tom Tuck's points.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
One of you's right. Got to be me, so I'm sorry too.
Joss, 1 or 3?
3.
You've got your own points.
Oh, no.
absolute. Oh, thank, well, thank God, because you play an A game, and I would have been sad to see that.
So who's
not turn out in your favour? So, Josh, you are the winner. That's a double nothing. Whoa,
no
way. It was a blinder at the top of the game.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, lovely. Oh, that's nice.
It was one of those ones you got to tell, you know.
But actually,
make it worth doing.
Yeah, Tom and Rob, you were on the same points, so that was
went
all right, didn't it? Really?
Like,
no harm, no foul.
As each other, all three.
Does that mean we both get a bronze or both get a silver? Because it is
both silver.
Oh, that's nice.
As is standard in no sports ever.
Everyone wins.
It's my game.
No, right? Fair. I'm happy. I'll take it.
I mean, technically, I'm the real winner because I managed to bamboozle you all into an hour's chat with me, and I would have been
bored
away. Yeah,
it was lovely. Had a lovely time.
I don't know. Where can we find you, Joss?
I'm on Twitter on @JossNorris or JossNorris.co.uk, or I think I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well, but if you just look for one of those, then there'll be some stuff about what I'm up to on there.
Any projects coming up you're excited about?
I'm starting on a new show. I'm doing a sort of a work in progress version of it at the Bill Murray in February, and then I'll be doing more with it next year. And I'm writing a radio thing, which will be out sometime next summer as well. So if people look up online, then they'll be able to see when all that stuff's happening.
That's
I hope
exciting.
You enjoy it.
I'm sure we will. Tom Tuck. Where can we find you with your southern Irish accent?
Well, I'm Turley God across the internet. Whether that be Instagram, Twitter, or Magic the Gathering online.
You do something with your face when you do the accent
as
well.
Really,
it's
impressive.
Really,
it's
so sexy.
I'm so into it.
I do all three of the actings. So,
what's the third and the second?
and the first.
Sexy.
So that one, which is there's that one.
Oh, sort of excitable, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that one.
Oh, creepy.
Yeah.
Old,
very,
old
very
and creepy.
Creepy. Old and creepy.
Yeah, it's quite a good range.
That is a good
Thank
range.
You.
Rob, where can we find you?
I'm at Robot Kemp.
Hello, no, Enter Player 2.
at Robot Kemp on Instagram and Twitter, and I am terrible at social media. Hooray!
It's true.
I'm very bad. I've been working on Agenda, which is my personal storytelling show.
It is really funny as well.
And I'm planning to take that. Thank you very much. I'm planning to take that to Edinburgh. But in the meantime, I've started work on a vaguely titled work in progress because I can't commit to the other idea yet. It's called Armature at the moment because you build the sculpture on top of it.
No pun intended, or
no pun attempted. Copyright Tom Tuck.
Well, this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much for coming to play. Thank you to the listeners. Presumably they did listen. I mean, it would be pretty savage if this was the only one that nobody bothered with. I'm confident. I'm sure Rob's gonna retweet it all over the place.
I'm terrible. Turning off in droves, there will be.
But yeah, you are.
He's a criminal.
No, you're not. It's your friend Frank. It's Frank.
I like that your fictitious friend, his name is a synonym for honesty.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Was that on purpose?
This is a real meandering end to this podcast. But yeah, there will be another one probably in 2 weeks' time for the listeners. I'm a bit sporadic in my recordings at the moment, but well, tough, really. Tough luck. It is what it is. There'll be one when there is one. You guys have been absolutely lush. You are now free to go. Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it,
Like us anywhere you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Know. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.